Welcome to Curating the Curious, the podcast that celebrates staying curious in life and never settling into a box. She wanted peace, so she played beautiful music, painted beautiful expressions. It was not enough. She went on long walks, gave away possessions, smiled more, stopped multitasking. Not enough. She bought more reverent clothing, read spiritual books, spoke spiritual words. Not enough. She changed her relationships, attended classes, cut her hair, improved her diet, attended worship, found a new job, traveled, came back. All of it? Not enough. Then, one day, she looked inside herself, the place she had run from all her life. She found two truths, the concentrated ego of suffering and fear and the simmering ember of peace. Realizing that peace was a seed already inside her, she decided to try something new. She decided to love more. Herself, others, all things. In every moment, she opened. The ocean inside came out. The ocean outside came in. She dissolved in two oceans, became immeasurable lightness. She found peace. Love is the sunlight that awakens the seed of peace. And this is by Dr. Jaya John. Something that I've loved for a long time, and I'm finally beginning to fully understand, and I wanted to share this today. The understanding of this poetry has brought me to a new favorite word, and that's Ubuntu. Ubuntu is a South African word meaning I am because we are. It means humanity is based on the plural, not the singular. A few years ago, I wrote down these words, the world is a reef. I had just watched a documentary on the deep sea, and the entire time I was watching it, I just kept thinking, this is why so many people are hurting on Earth. We're like one big reef system. And in order to be healthy and whole, we've got to realize that we live as one and rely upon one another in order to stay alive and flourish. We can make the choice to shut out certain groups, denounce them, but at some point, we need to come back to the collective realization that we are inextricably connected to each other, to our Mother Earth, to everything around us. The entire reef community is built on relationships. That's what keeps it alive. That's what keeps it thriving. And once the relationships stop working, the reef dies. And it's no different for us here on land. As I speak these words out loud, I don't want people thinking, whoa, okay, Leanna, have you lost it? Like, who are you? Because my hourly and daily self has not yet caught up to these beliefs. This is my higher self coming to you for sure. This is a part of me that I want to grow. This is a part of the understanding of the world that I want to stay connected to. And I have had a very difficult time being connected to over the last 3 or so years. And I'm not pretending to be someone that I'm not. I am flawed. I get angry. I get impatient. All the things. It takes time to learn how to be able to calm your nervous system and release yourself from perpetual cycle of fight or flight. It takes time to look within and heal both generational trauma, CPTSD. I don't even know all of the titles I could come up with, but it takes time. It takes time to heal. Becoming less reactive to outer stimulus is just a process, much like any other. It's like two steps forward, one step back. We're all human. Back to the idea of Ubuntu, which is where I want to end up. I want to feel I am because we are. I want to feel connected to those around me. I want others to open up to that as well. And as I was writing this, I looked around my office just to find any books that I might have laying around that might add to this idea, to this topic. And within 2 minutes, I found How to Connect by Thich Nhat Hanh. And his words about the idea of Ubuntu, they don't use that word. He's not South African. He uses the words, the one contains the all. So whether you are saying, I am because we are, the one contains the all, or the world is a reef, it's all kind of the same. And in the words of Anne Lamott, we're all just walking each other home. As I kept reading through How to Connect, I found the area where Thich Nhat Hanh discussed Sangha. It's what a Sangha is. It's in Buddhism. It's a community of practice. And he says, when we practice with others, there's mutual support and the practice becomes easy. In Buddhism, a practice community is called a Sangha. And then he goes on to talk about collective intelligence and sort of building on my thoughts about reefs, the reef community. He speaks about ants in a colony. And he says, when ants are all together in an anthill, there is intelligence. There is cooperation. There's thinking and insight. They know exactly what to do and what not to do. The anthill behaves as an organism, as one organism. If 5, 10, or a dozen ants are placed away from the rest, they don't know what to do. They get confused and run around aimlessly. What the community of ants does, no individual ant can do. There is no leader in the community of ants. The same is true of bees and termites. When individuals come together as a Sangha and the Sangha begins to operate as an organism, there is intelligence, imagination, insight, stability, and wisdom. Right now, we're at the beginning of spring. Whether you're listening to this in real time or not, and it's not actually spring, it doesn't matter, but right now is a time where we are repotting our plants. We are taking them out of the old ones. We're moving them into bigger pots. We're giving them fresh soil. We are lending them the ability to expand their root system, to grow greener, to get fresh soil, have more room to move around. And that's exactly what's happening for us in this season as well. It's exactly what can happen for us. So, how do we make the conscious choice of which way we want to go? I say give your attention to what you want to grow inside of you. Take your attention off the obstacles. Take your attention off the negative energy coming at you. Everybody has it coming at them. Start putting your attention on those good things, those moments of joy, those hopes, those positive thoughts, however small or random they may be. Start magnifying them in your mind. Start writing them down, putting them in front of you, visualizing. This is the time to kind of let some stuff go. If you want to fly, you've got to let go of some things. Another thing I want to say right now is for anybody who's feeling like you're moving into a new phase of something, which I feel like most of us do feel that during this time of year, I am going to say that Rick Rubin is opening my mind back up to where I've wanted it to be, where maybe it has been in the past, in a way that I haven't been able to really get myself to concentrate on long enough to stay there. So he came out with his new book. He's been running the circuits of all the podcasts. And he's one of those where if you listen to every podcast that he appears on, you are going to hear something different every time. It's not a script selling a book. So I would highly recommend that. I highly, highly recommend getting his audiobook. His voice is fantastic. His ideas are beautiful. They're mind-opening. They are inspiring and they're thought-provoking, but his voice along with it is great. I've also got the actual copy of the book too, because it's one of those. It is, I'm going to say it's the sequel to Big Magic, even though Liz Gilbert wrote Big Magic. So I am super pumped on Rick Rubin. He is helping me usher this new season into my mind. He just speaks. I don't think I can even tell you. But one thing about this whole Rick Rubin thing has been very interesting for me to pay attention to. So a quick little story. I started listening to Rick Rubin. I checked it out on the audio sample and was like, whoa, his voice is great. So I start the first chapter and I go, oh my God, like I wrote something just like this. And it was just sort of like, oh God, you know, kind of a panic set into me. Like, this is what Liz Gilbert talks about when she says, if you don't do it, the idea goes to somebody else. And I kind of panicked for a second. But then I thought, no, this could be said by a million people in a million different ways. It's nothing original. It's just said in a beautiful way. Then I go and it was either a newsletter or an Instagram post from Yann Palmer. And she's talking about her retreat or like a day retreat in Northern California that's coming up soon. And which sounds amazing, and I wish I could go. You should check it out. But, and she starts the message with, Rick Rubin stole my idea. And I'm like, well, hot damn, he stole mine too. And so that was funny. That was synchronicity, because that was literally within like the same day. Then I get a newsletter maybe 2 days later. And I'm thinking all about synchronicity and all of these, you know, things that are going on. And Tom Weaver, who, if you know Rachel Larson Weaver, her husband has a newsletter that I just love. I love both of their newsletters, by the way. But so he has a newsletter and I get that and it's about synchronicity. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? So then I wake up the next morning and my favorite astrologer, Chani Nicholas, posted a video of Rick Rubin talking about, we can hear one thing in a million ways and each one will hit us differently. We need everybody to sing it in their way. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, this is kind of my message. So as I'm listening to Rick Rubin, and you know I've pretty much got Big Magic memorized, I'm like, hit the basis of Rick Rubin's amazing, awesome, wonderful book has so much to do with the basis of Big Magic. And it's all about living creatively, having it be a way of life rather than this thing that you're aspiring to become or do. Just live creatively. Life itself is a creative act. It's all coming to me, all of these messages. It's been very inspiring. It's been very like, no, we don't have to claim things as our own. We all say basically the same thing when we speak about creativity, but all of us have a different voice to sing it with. All of us have a different way to get our point across. And the way that we do it is going to hit somebody else differently. And that's what makes the world go round. So if you feel like, oh, you know, the market is oversaturated, whatever it is that you're doing, it doesn't even matter what it is. The thing that stops something from being oversaturated is by making it your own, by not copying other people, by putting your own spin on it, by being completely and fully you. That is what helps you escape the whole trap of caring about if something is oversaturated. I don't know if everybody is connecting the dots as I speak about all this, but if you are familiar with Stephen Pressfield, Elizabeth Gilbert, Rick Rubin, if you've read all of these books, they've got this similar thing, but they do it so differently and they hit you differently. Don't ever let yourself get stopped by thinking, oh, it's already been done. It's all already been done. Austin Kleon, it just says it so well. You know, it's like nothing is original. We all get inspired by things and then we transform our own creations through our own past experiences, thoughts, feelings, and we create something new from us. And if you're being completely true to you and delivering from your heart, it's always going to be something new. Go out, get that audiobook, get that book. Rick Rubin is the man. Well, hot damn again. I was just about to publish this and release it, and I'm just thumbing through Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being is the title. I don't think I've even said that yet. Thumbing through it, I'm just going, you know, through the little chapters, looking at each one. I get towards the end of the book on page 359, and I see The Art Habit, in parentheses, Sangha. What? We're talking about synchronicity. I just had to pop back in and tell you that because I'm telling you, I'm getting so many signs, and I don't care if anybody thinks I'm crazy for believing in synchronicity. I really don't, because I believe in it. And I am on a wavelength right now. Rick Rubin is sending me messages.
If you like this podcast, please give my mommy a 5-star rating and an awesome review, because she's the best podcast writer in the world.